Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I was going to say that twice, wasn't I? Oh, what a interesting Monday it is today. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk. Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events. For Monday, November 10th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al. Al.
Good afternoon, Melody. Melody.
repeat and repeat, right?
Yep. Repeat and repeat.
Repeat and repeat.
Yep.
I remember them.
Yeah, but that was before my time, Melody.
Was it?
Yes, it was. I remember being told about them by people who were older than me, but that was before my time.
And I actually thought it was you who told me. But anyway, it certainly was not a repeat in the gold market for the Friday's numbers. Today we have a showing of gold on the aftermarket New York spot down 29 at 1150. Silver's down 26 at 1568. Platinum was down 20 at 1202. Palladium is down 6 at $766. And let's go to the USDX. And let's see, 87.81 up 0.24. And crude oil, 77.16, down 1.49. And actually, you know, when we've seen these big hits in gold, it correlates to these big hits in crude oil also. So. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any rhyme.
Crude oil has been hit harder than gold.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It has. And for the paper markets today, where are my paper markets? That's been a busy and hectic day. People are finally taking advantage of these new low prices. You have the Dow up 39 points at 17,613. The NASDAQ up 19 at 46,51. The S&P up 6. At 2,038, and the 10-year yield is 2.36, up 0.0. What was that?
What was what?
All kinds of noise.
I just wiped my eye with a paper towel because that was handy, and my eye was kind of burning.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right.
I only need one eye to do this job. It's, you know, land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So
the
here
blind
I am.
Leading the blind.
I've got one eye, good enough.
Yes, ow. You know, China has a biggest shopping day. It's kind of like our Black Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It's sort of like online Monday that they call. What do they call the for Mondays? But this is actually for singles. And I can't bring this article up here, so I might not be able to help here. Things just aren't working well today, Al.
Well, you know what they say. It's just like automobiles.
Tighten up.
Generally, you got to tighten up the nut behind the steering wheel. That's what's required to make the program, make the automobile function properly.
But I had these numbers, and it's really kind of interesting because they have the singles class, and I can't bring the information online. I get all this audio, video, and that I can't shut off. But they actually, like, the number actually doubles what our Black Friday and that following Monday for online sales. And it's one day. It's encouraged for singles. It's people that are single. And they go out there, and they're encouraged to buy online. And I can't recall how many billions of dollars, but it passes what we shop on. Of course, they have so many more people. But it's interesting that they focus online, and they're probably doing a little bit better over there than a lot of the folks are over here. It'll be interesting to see what our Black Friday will actually do this here in this next week.
I don't think it'll be that big.
2 weeks.
I don't think it'll be that big, in part because people are already preempting Black Friday. They're moving. We talked about it last week. I think Walmart announced 20,000 items on sale as of Monday of last week, if I recall correctly. But sometime last week they started. They were on a Christmas sale already. I think it was still in October. Black Friday is, you know, if everybody's buying things the previous week, they're not going to buy as much on Black Friday. That's just the truth of it. Just as Black Friday will slow down sales for the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon we'll be having Black July, Black 4th of July, where you can go out and buy your Christmas, get a special on your Christmas buys and your 4th of July celebration.
Today we also had Obama. He comes out and he urged the government, the U.S. government, to adopt tighter regulations on broadband service in an effort to preserve a free and open Internet. He called on the FCC to enforce the principle of treating all Internet traffic the same way, like a utility. It would be known in shorthand like as net neutrality. That means treating broadband services like utilities so that the Internet service providers would be unable to restrict the best access or to pick winners and losers in the online marketplace for services and ideas.
The idea behind that is if you wanted, there would be more than one speed on the Internet, essentially. And I may not understand this clearly, but you could pay a premium price if you were running a website to get people to come to your website more quickly, to have better access than access to the average website. This is not the same thing as me contracting to take a certain speed on my DSL or my, you know, whatever cable provider I have. It's a question of the URLs, the websites themselves, having the option to pay more where people can access them more quickly. That's my understanding. I'm not sure if that's exactly correct, but I think it is.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, I mean, it'd be regulated, and they're going to regulate it, so.
It's one of those things that I don't understand enough about it to say the idea that we are going to maintain freedom, Internet freedom, by imposing more regulations is one of those things that I have a problem with. It might be true. It might actually be for the best interest, the Internet community and the rest of it, but when government says we're going to make you more free, see, by imposing more regulations, I'm sitting here and thinking, you know, there's kind of a contradiction in that. There's a contradiction in there, and I'm betting that there are details that I'm not aware of, don't understand. And if I knew those details, I might have a better opinion on it.
A good question would be, when you have global internet, how would regulating it here affect companies around the world that use U.S.?
Not.
I mean, it would almost be impossible.
No, it's not. It's not. It's because it's about the companies that are paying for their websites. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are going to pay the premium price, if I understand this correctly. It's not that I'd pay more money or less money here at home. It's that the corporations
would be paying.
Yeah, and so we can imagine that Amazon, for example, would pay to have super fast service to Amazon. We can also imagine that over time, conventional competitors for Amazon, who perhaps couldn't afford the same speed, they might start to lose business. People might say, no, we're going to Amazon because they're almost instantaneous, and these other stores, they take 3/4 of a second, and we don't want to wait that long. No. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
It is irritating.
But I don't know. You can see how it can be exploited and used. It favors the rich and powerful. It disfavors, you know, the less affluent. Is that fair? Right, or is it dangerous?
I would seem it to be more dangerous, but
we'll find out. It's like a lot of things. We're going to find out about a lot of things in this world, and things that we don't understand, and things that we may not even suspect. We're going to find out. They're going to be in the news, and then there's going to be more and more. The whole system has become, I don't know, just so unstable, and that may not be the right word, but it is changing so rapidly that it certainly appears unstable. It's hard to look at what's happening in the world and say, okay, we're going in a particular direction, and we're going faster and faster, and it's a direction we all want to go in, and so it's a good thing. I don't get that impression. We are moving rapidly, but I don't know if anyone really understands the direction we're moving in, or if we're even moving in a single direction. It's like we're moving in 6 different directions at the same time, and we're moving more rapidly every day.
Have you seen the headlines about Ferguson lately?
No. Has the grand jury released its verdict yet or not?
Not that I know of, but there have been some fairly scary headlines about what will happen once that is released. In fact, it's almost shocking what they expect.
You're talking about riots?
Yes. Very similar to Rodney King.
I saw a report just yesterday. No, it's all crazy because this guy was a thug. And the evidence is pretty clear so far as I'm able to understand. He did beat up on the cop who tried to leave, and then he came back after the cop a second time, if I understand this correctly, and that's when the cop shot him. I don't think the cop is wrong, and it's not my nature to be praising the police and saying, oh, goody. I think we're running into a police state, and that's a bad situation. And I'm not in favor of police abuse, but I don't think this was an instance of that. I think under the circumstances, I think anybody in the same position, if you saw a picture of that cop's eye, I mean, he took a good thumping. I guarantee if anybody hits me that hard, I don't care who it is. If I have access to a firearm, they're not getting close to me a second time. I don't blame the cop. From what I understand, don't blame the cop. Now, the question is whether a bunch of black folk are going to say, we don't care if our boy was a crook or a thug or not. We don't even care if he's stupid. The only question is, was he black? And if he was, then we get to riot. Now, some people are going to make that argument, and we'll see how many. I saw a report in one of the newspapers just yesterday, I believe, where someone who was actually there in Ferguson to support holding, you know, the idea that this black teenager should not have been shot. He was there in favor of the teenager, and he was meeting a white guy. And he's meeting with other people at a church that are in support of the black teenager. And the other people there believe he's streaming a video to the internet of their meeting. And somebody hollers, he's streaming. They jump him, thump him a good one, he winds up in the hospital. He gets out of the church. Some people tell him to run, and he goes down running down the road to get away. And what he's saying in his report is that people there at the church are planning. They are going to make sure they get a violent confrontation out of this. Now, we'll see whether that's talk, hot air, how this is going to go. There's no telling how the community of Ferguson is going to respond to this. But there are people there with a vested interest in making sure that fires take place, riots take place.
You know what, Al? What amazes me, there have been comments that have been released saying if you know they rule in favor of the policemen, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Well, why aren't these people being stopped? I mean, it's like they want it to happen.
I understand.
It's like, why aren't these people being stopped? If I ran out on the corner and started yelling all kinds of things and so forth, and letting people think that my intentions were, you know, to create these civil, you know, disobedience situations, they would stop you.
Well, what they're doing is they're engaged in terrorism.
It's like they're baiting them to do it.
They are engaged in, that's part of it. They want these problems. I understand somebody wants them. But these people are engaged in terrorism. They're saying, look, if you guys don't find the cop guilty, we're going to burn down the city. Well, what, you go ahead and make that threat. The cop, whether he's guilty or not, I'm not going to debate that point. I don't think he is. But the grand jury is going to come to a decision on this. But that decision should not be influenced by a bunch of thugs who say, we'll burn the city down if you don't do things our way. Those people are making terroristic threats, which incidentally is exactly what some of the leaders, Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
He's arguably engaged in terrorism for most of his career. His fundamental threat is, you either pay me some money and give me this, that, or the other, or I'm going to get the black folk to riot. Nobody's done anything about it. Nobody sat back and said, wait a second, the man is, he's the whole principle behind much of black activism is terrorism. If you don't give blacks what they want, they'll riot and burn the city down. And nobody wants to do that. They just deal with this as if this is reasonable politics, and it's not. I think the reason for it is that there are people in positions of power who want racial strife. I think they understand they can profit from it. There's gains to be made, and therefore they want it. They allow it.
They create it.
And whoever they are, they're far more dangerous and treasonous than whatever thugs are meeting at a church in Ferguson and planning to set the city on fire if things don't go their way. You know, there's a good chance that there are gasoline containers of gasoline or whatever that are already in place in different parts of the city right now.
Well, we don't know that.
No, we don't know it. But I'm guaranteeing you that if I was an activist and I was involved in that, and I said, it would be one of my thoughts. I'd be thinking about it, and it's not unreasonable to suppose that's possible. They're not going to just march out there and say, "Wait, what will we do now? They voted against finding the cop guilty. What shall we do?" They're going to be ready to rock and roll. You can expect.
Well, they're giving it enough time. They're giving it enough time to where this decision should have been already released. Now all this energy is building up.
Well, I don't know if it's building up or it's dissipating. It's giving everybody a chance to see what's
going on. I really don't want to see what happened in L.A., but I think we're late for a break.
All right, let's take one. Catch a couple commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Banks will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
And we do have a gold and silver special. We have one of my favorites. Actually, both of these are my favorites for bartering type material. You have pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars, and you have an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. This includes all your shipping costs, $920. And we'll have a little more update on the Silver Eagle availability. And again, what happened there is the U.S. Mint began producing or manufacturing 2015 Silver Eagles. They've been doing that for about a month, and they ran out in the meantime. They ran out of 2014s, and by law they cannot release the 2015 early, so they can't do that. They can't release the 2015s until 2015, so they are restocking their inventory. In the meantime, with the low prices, you had this huge demand come into the market. And, of course, Canadian maple leaves, they're very tight. We do have silver rounds. If you're just looking for a volume of silver rounds, we do have those available. And we do have the silver Morgan dollars, pre-21s, along with an AU $5 Liberty gold piece, $920. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
All right, Melody, what's next?
Well, immigration.
Yeah.
Executive action. Mr. Obama.
Yep,
I don't even
absolutely.
Want to say Mr. Obama because he's...
No, I don't either. The man this is one of the most...
It's a term of respect, and there's no...
This is an article from the Washington Times. Pardon me?
Would you like to bring on our caller first?
Yeah, probably before I start hyperventilating over Obama. Hello, David. What do you got for us?
Hi, Melody and Al. Listen, as being a former resident of Detroit, after the 67 riots, I just want these people in Ferguson to realize that it was 40 years before the major grocery and department stores started moving back in Detroit.
Yeah.
If you want to burn the village, you're going to be dealing with maybe some Iraqi behind an inch and a half of plexiglass, and you're going to pay his prices because he's got super high insurance. It's not that he doesn't like you, and it's just that he's got enough nerve to open a store down there. And I already hear that down in Ferguson, it was on the news today, that they're selling plexiglass for windows like you wouldn't believe. And that's not the answer. Just from Detroit, it was in the, around the last 6 or 7 years that chain stores started moving back into Detroit, and they started being able to buy groceries and other things at reasonable prices, or you're going to get on a bus and you're going to have to go 15, 20 miles to shop in the burbs. So if you really think this is what you want to do, go ahead and do it.
See, the problem is, who's doing the thinking here? I'm not convinced that the average citizen of Ferguson is dumb enough to burn their own town down. But I have no doubt that there are activists in there from outside of Ferguson who are more than happy to burn the town down. Figuratively speaking, I'm not saying the whole town's going to burn down, but there are people who want trouble. And I doubt that they're the people that live in that community. I understand the people in that community have a complaint and run thing. Go ahead.
Pardon?
What did you
say? There's powers to be that want martial law. They want gun control. And you got to have a situation where things are out of hand. And this is how, you know, it's just like 9-11. Oh, you're either with us or against us. And you know, we're all sticking together on this and rah, rah, rah. And we find out later it was pretty much all, you know, done by our own government just to pass the instantly written and next to signed Patriot Act. And if you were not, you didn't sign it. You know, you had to sign it. So,
what do you think about martial law? What do you think are the probabilities?
And we do have a bad connection with you, Dave, though. I don't know if you can
really
move around a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah, is this any better?
Well, it might be. We'll see. Go ahead.
What do you think about martial law, Dave? What do you think the chances are that the government could impose martial law in this country?
Well, I think they're pretty good. I think that's the powers that be want it.
Dave, you are dropping in and out. We may have to turn you loose just because we're not
hey,
we're not getting
another phone here. Hang on. Is this any better?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
We've
got to try it for a while. How many phones you got?
Oh, that was on a cordless that I always use. So
well,
you're pretty good.
I tell you, I doubt that martial law can be imposed except in limited circumstances, because there's really not enough police and military to really establish a military control of this entire country. We had all we could do to control Iraq during the Iraq War, and that's a nation about the size and population of Texas, and it's all the government, the military could do, and they were bombing people. I mean, there aren't enough soldiers, there aren't enough police to establish martial law in this country. Except we could establish martial law in New York City, for example, or we could establish martial law in Atlanta under the right circumstances. But we're not going to have martial law across this whole country. In fact, I'd guess that under a worst-case scenario, the people of this country would be begging for martial law. Worst-case scenario, you're going to have to worry about being robbed, raided, whatever, by people in your community. And you're going to want somebody to protect you from those other people. And I don't think there's enough cops around to do it. And so it would be, you know, it's not clear to me that we're going to see martial law except, you know, in limited areas in this country in the foreseeable future. Does that make any sense to you, Dave? Do you think I'm being too...
Yeah, well, that would give them the opportunity to turn up the heat on the frog, and before you know it, we are cooked. You know, step by step.
There's a process going on here. There's a process that's going on, and we're headed in a bad direction. And it's a question of how fast do we go move in that direction? Do we move quickly? Do we move slowly? But we're not. It doesn't bode well for freedom and liberty at this moment.
Well,
got anything else for us, Dave?
You've never seen a rainbow push turning open up stores in areas after they've had the riots. You've never seen.
Yeah, I understand.
Try to do anything for their own people, but just to get more funding for their own organizations.
I understand that. And how do they get that funding?
They get it
by terrorizing people. They get it by threatening to burn down more cities.
Right.
That's essentially, I mean, that may be an overly cynical and maybe not even quite accurate, but there is some truth to that. They make the threats. People say, why don't we give you some money? You go out and get drunk, get high, whatever. They say, sure, give us enough money and we won't burn things down.
Is my connection any better, or should I call you some other time? I got another topic.
Try
it and we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, to deal with the Ebola or any other plague, you know, that's the biological neutron bomb. And the thing about that is it kills the people and leaves the real estate. And if your whole family is wiped out, who gets your home, who gets your car, who gets your bank accounts, stocks and bonds? The government, Uncle Sam. You know, so it's all to their advantage. And if they want to get us our population down to 280 million within 10 years, this would be the way to do it. And
it's one way that they might be able to do it, but how contagious is Ebola? We had a big scare out of Ebola there for a while, and now we had a problem here in Dallas. That's just gone. Nobody's got that. At least nobody's reported as having the Ebola disease at this time. It seems it's not as lethal as some people.
I was recently in the hospital, and they brought a guy in at 12:05 at night. He was septic. He was bleeding from the rectum and the mouth. And the doctor came in and says, and he had cancer, and he says, I don't know what he has. We might have to call the CDC. I immediately made a phone call, and I was out of that room in 5 minutes' time. And so you never know what's going on, and they're not going to put that in the paper. But I made sure that I wasn't taking a chance. If the doctor didn't know what he had, I sure wasn't going to find out.
And, well, I agree with you. I agree with you, but that's part of the deal. We don't know what's going on here, and no matter what happens, you can't really conceal a pandemic. The bodies start to pile up, and somebody starts to figure out that no matter what they tell you on the news, there's a bunch of bodies out in the streets.
Unfortunately, at that point in time, it's a little too late.
Well, it may be, but my point is a pandemic cannot be easily concealed for long. There either is one or there's not one. If you're not getting the reports, it implies that it's not as contagious as people had thought.
Well, like I said, there's a three-point spear on that. One is population reduction. Two, they get to inherit all that you had. And three, that they... the third point would be probably that they wouldn't have to pay that unfunded money.
Well, for Social Security and a lot of the pension funds and the rest of that, it reduces the national debt if enough of us die, especially
right.
The old-timers. Enough old-timers die, well, there goes much of the national debt because they don't have to pay Social Security and pensions.
Yep.
Plus medical care.
That's my thought for today.
All right, Dave, thank you. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you another time.
And I hope the people in Ferguson keep their cool.
I think the people will, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with people who are not really from Ferguson.
Well, they should
be able
to where these people come from that get caught. You know, if they come from out of state, that should be stated such.
I understand. Should be, but... What are you going to say? You know, the people of Ferguson, one other point, they have an obligation not merely to sit on their butts. but maybe also to take control. If there's foreigners coming in there, people from out of the community coming in for the purpose of inspiring riots and whatever, those people should be controlled. They know the community knows who they are. They know where they are. They ought to be able to control those people. If they want to, they have an obligation to try to do so. Yep. All right, Dave, thank you. We appreciate your call.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Well, Melody, we were talking about Obama. This is from the Washington Times. This article just got me hyperventilating, frothing at the mouth. You know, blah, blah, blah. President Obama, it's not news. We've expected this. But you see it, and it just infuriates me. President Obama vowed Sunday to move forward with an executive order to ease immigration laws before the end of the year, ignoring dire warnings from Republican leaders that the move will poison his relationship with the next Congress. The president said he would not wait any longer to address the country's immigration problems and would grant legal status to most of the estimated 11 million undocumented residents. They mean illegal aliens, of course. Undocumented residents. You lying sacks of excrement. Right? These are illegal aliens. They don't have enough respect for the laws of this country to even enter legally. And yet the president of the United States is saying, oh, we need to let these people move in and stay here and inevitably attract millions more. The president of the United States, in response to the extreme ass-whipping that Obama brought on the Democrat Party in last election, has shown that he is spiteful, arrogant, cynical, narcissistic. And simply using the illegal alien issue as his way to say, screw you, America. He understands that people don't want illegal aliens in this country. And most importantly, the people cannot and should not be asked to accept a president who breaks the law openly in your face. He said, I don't care what the immigration laws are. I'm going to pass laws on my own. I'm the president. I can pass laws on my own. There is an extraordinary problem with that. Here we have the chief law enforcement of the United States conspiring with millions of illegal aliens to break the law. His job as president and head of the executive branch of government is to execute laws that have been passed. Not to decide which ones he's going to enforce and which one he's not going to enforce, and certainly not to violate some laws en masse. He has no right to do that. He has no power to do that. That is consistent with the Constitution. The guy is engaged in treason, but he's doing so openly, brazenly, shamelessly, arrogantly. He knows America doesn't agree with his decision. He knows his decision requires him to break the law. But nevertheless, again, he's saying, screw you, America. And I say, may God Almighty judge Obama. May God judge you, Obama. God judge you. And Obama goes on and he says, I'd prefer and still prefer to see it done through Congress. Well, we're going to take a break right now for some commercial announcements, and we're going to come back and discuss the implications of Obama's statement he'd prefer and still prefer to see it done through Congress. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and I'm hyperventilating over Obama's vow that he's going to grant immunity to 11 million. And they say 11 million.
I was just going to say it's probably 20 million.
Way, way higher than that. Illegal aliens in this country. Why doesn't he grant immunity to however many rapists or child molesters we have in this country? What's wrong with that idea? And whatever is wrong with that idea is the same thing that's wrong. These illegal aliens are here illegally. They are criminals. And the government is saying, well, it's okay. There's a lot of criminals. We're going to give them a special. They're special. They don't have to obey the law. Now, and that's essentially what Obama's saying. But in one of in this article in the Washington Times, it says, and quotes Obama as saying, I'd prefer and still prefer to see it done through Congress. What he means is that he would prefer that Congress make whatever reforms are necessary or changes are necessary to grant immunity to the illegal aliens. And he's saying, if Congress won't do it, he will. Now, that's a fascinating statement and implicit admission. Obama implies that the illegal alien problem could be solved by either Congress or the president. Congress won't do it, he will. Now, how is that possible in a government that's supposed to be built on the idea of separation of powers? We have 3 departments of constitutional government, legislative, executive, and judicial. Neither of these departments is supposed to be able to exercise powers reserved for either of the other two. In other words, it's up to Congress to make the laws, and Congress alone gets to make the laws. The courts don't get to make the laws. They can make determinations based on the law, but they don't get to make the law. At least they're not supposed to be able. The executive branch is supposed to execute the law, but it doesn't get to make the law. We've got 3 branches, 3 fundamental powers, again, legislative, executive, and judicial, and no one of one branch is supposed to be able to execute powers from one of the other two branches. The doctrine of separation of powers is implicit in the structure of the Constitution of the United States. We have Article 1 for the legislature and Article 2 for the executive branch and Article 3 for the judicial branch. The separation of powers is implicit, but it's not expressly declared there. However, it is expressly declared in Article 2 of the Constitution of the State of Texas. And it's worth listening to this expression of what they call division of powers here in Texas. It's just so you get the idea. This is what it's all about. Article 2, the powers of government. Section 1, division of powers. 3 separate departments. Exercise of power properly attached to other departments. The powers of government of the state of Texas shall be divided into three distinct departments, each of which shall be confided to a separate body of magistracy, to wit, those which are legislative to one, those which are executive to another, and those which are judicial to another. And no person or collection of persons being of one of these departments shall exercise any power properly attached to either of the others, except in circumstances herein expressly permitted. And so far as I know, there are no express permissions for a violation of this separation of powers within the Constitution of the State of Texas. Same principle should be applicable and has been for most of our history to the federal government. No person or collection of persons being in one of the departments, legislative, executive, or judicial, shall exercise any power properly attached to either of the others. Obama should not be allowed to make laws, right? The laws are only supposed to be made by Congress, and yet Obama says that this, he says, I'd prefer and still prefer to see it done through Congress. He's saying that we can achieve immunity for illegal aliens either through the presidency or through the Congress. That shouldn't be possible if we have separation of powers. It shouldn't be possible if the government is being operated at a constitutional level. At the federal law, Congress is supposed to make laws. The president is supposed to execute the laws that Congress has made. Congress can't execute the laws, and the executive branch can't make or legislate laws. But under the guise of executive orders, President Obama has pledged to unilaterally pass laws. He calls them executive orders, but laws that will allow illegal aliens to stay in this country. The big implication is this: a fundamental constitutional principle, separation of powers, has been lost or is being openly violated by the nation's chief law enforcement officer for knowingly and intentionally violating these immigration laws. Obama may be subject to treason, trials for treason. All right. If he can say, screw you, America, and refuse to enforce the laws that are known to be on the books, America can say the same to Obama. You have a president, ladies and gentlemen, who openly, brazenly, shamelessly, and arrogantly breaks the law. All right. It can't be tolerated. It can't be tolerated. This is not just a little thing, oh, do you like illegal aliens or do you not like illegal aliens? This isn't about that. This is about whether the people in Washington have to obey the law or they don't have to obey the law. What we're looking at here is evidence of a government that says we can do anything we want, anytime we want, and we don't have to obey the law. We're not controlled by the law. We have unlimited power. We are a dictatorship rather than a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is dangerous, horrific, and it should not be tolerated. What do you think, Melody?
We got a caller, Jim, from West Virginia.
I'm not surprised. You know something? I'm almost getting to be prophetic in my ability to think, I'll bet you Jim's got something to say about this. Hello, Jim. What you got?
Oh, I've always got something to say, good, bad, or indifferent. My battle to get his patent agent's license had to study patent law and involved in infringements and all kinds of good stuff like that. But when I was in junior high school, they laid out the basics. But for the next 4 years, they made me read a bunch of real history and a lot of selections from a guy. You probably heard of it. His name is Blackstone.
Yeah.
Common law. Okay.
English.
Sir?
English, right?
Oh, yes, the Blackstone, English fella. Anyway, for whatever reasons, now, he had like four of his books, I think, and I read a bunch out of book one, I think book three, I don't remember, though. But Dad and Mom said, listen, we want you to understand the difference between common law, God's law, natural law, whatever you want to call it, and all the various forms of lex rex, which is Greek for law of the king. Whatever the king says is the law. So why stop at Obama? Let's look at the Administrative Procedures Act 1946, and I learned about that back when nobody knew about it. where the agency just writes their own rules. But in the Federal Register, if Congress doesn't complain, oh, goody, it has the color of law. We have mandates. We have policies. Lex Rex. Rex is whoever writes the rules. If you are the king of your castle, then you write the rules. Let's say there's a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. You say, 9-year-old, you can do this. 5, 7, you're not ready for this yet. So Lex Rex is whoever's writing the rules, whether it's administrative law, which is what patent law basically is. It didn't have common law stuff, juries and all those protections. Certainly not. When this equity law, the unconstitutional lawmasters courts, I went to a lawmasters hearing. What was said in the court had absolutely nothing to do with the paper, which I was served with. And not only that, but I said, I don't want a copy of that transcript because they supposedly recorded it. They instantly said, oh, we lost it. Didn't even look for it. Yeah. So equity law, no basis for that whatsoever. We have martial law, which is military law, which is basically what we're under now. We're under dictatorship, folks. So let's say what it is and then what they label it. Classic journalism says you say what something is and what it does, and then you attach the label to it. So we have a bunch of poisons we're injecting into people that are called vaccines. That's how you report it. Say again?
I don't know. I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I think that was
now,
perhaps
also,
Melody. I'm not sure.
Also, we have maritime admiralty law, where when you walk on and you open up the railing, you step aboard a legal fiction called a ship at sea. And the judge is the captain of the ship, and he can make you walk the plank if he wants. So let's not stop at Obama with judiciary. Now, this has been that Solomon said, I have seen corruption in the courtrooms everywhere. Exact quote, but Solomon. So it's not only done with the permission of the court, they have a spur on. So the bottom line is very, very simple, folks. What you're dealing with is almost the whole color of law. It is not law. It is not positive law.
Let me tell you something.
All these little word tricks.
I am more than a casual student of the law, at least as a layman. I ran for the Supreme Court of Texas back in 1992, which is supposed to be illegal, but I found an 1870 federal law that allowed me to do so. All right, and I received 201,000 votes for it. It was a distant third. I finished a distant third, but I'm probably the first man to get on the ballot who was not a lawyer and a judge, maybe since the Civil War. And according to the Constitution of Texas, it's supposed to. I've been at it for a while. Now, let me tell you about administrative law.
Yeah.
If you go to American Jurisprudence, second edition, which is a huge encyclopedia on topics involved in the legal system, and you look up the head and you look up the article they have on administrative law, it will tell you in just, I think the article might be 25 pages long, I don't recall anymore, but in just the first page or two, they tell you several times they refer to it as the fourth branch of government.
Bingo. Right?
And they're not simply talking as a metaphor. They're talking about the fourth branch of government. There's no proviso for a fourth branch in the Constitution of the United States. But they have a fourth branch of government. And they explain what administrative law is all about. It combines the legislative powers and the executive powers and the judicial powers all under a single authority. There is no separation of powers in administrative law. That administrative law can't exist within the states of the Union. It's not lawful. It's unconstitutional. And yet they relied. This whole country is caught in this administrative law. And there's one other point that you may be able to understand. When you combine all three fundamental powers of government, legislative, executive, and judicial, under one authority, what have you got?
Gestapo.
You have sovereign. The government. The administrative law presumes the government is the sovereign. When you divide those three powers between three different departments, the government is not sovereign, or at least no single branch of the government is sovereign. But you can only maybe argue that there's some trace of sovereignty if the law and the executive and the judiciary all agree on a particular case without all being operating under the same rule. But I'm just fumbling at this maybe, but I'm making a point that I know to be true. Insofar as you are caught in administrative law, you are a subject. You're not a sovereign. You have no meaningful rights. The government will administer you and your case however they see fit. And what we see from both what Jim is talking about with administrative law and what we see with Obama saying, listen, Congress could do it or I could do it. He's telling us by implication that the federal government is operating under administrative law. It's not operating under the constitutional law, which requires separation of powers.
Keep shouting it from the rooftops.
Hmm?
You're doing a great job. Keep shouting it, bud. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Talk to you another time. Appreciate your call. Melody, we got, what do we got, 2 minutes left, something like that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny how all this, you know, it's, you know, some folks say, well, what's it mean to me? I don't apply it. I can't apply it. It doesn't help me today. But yet it's so important that it involves the things that do affect us.
It involves whether you have any meaningful rights or whether you are just caught in a situation that's identical, virtually identical to what they had under the communist system in the Soviet Union. We have people in positions of power that can tell you what to do, and you don't have any meaningful rights to resist them. You got to just sit back and say, well, if they say so, you know, the commissar says so, the president says so, the Congress says so, we have no defense against them. You know, the Constitution is the people's law. It starts out, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. What we see coming out of Congress are statutes. This is the government's law. It's not the same. The government's law should be subject to the people's law, and the people's law should be subject to God's law. And Congress says, essentially, to heck with all of that. We will rule without regard to the people's law, the Constitution, or without regard to God's law, the Bible. And we'll do as we please, when we please, however we please, and all of you peons will put up with it if you know what's good for you. Some of us understand this. Some of us are able to resist it with some effect, but it takes a while. It's not easily understood. And it's hard to believe because it's based on a massive betrayal of our rights perpetrated against us by our own government. We're out of time, folks. I'm Alfred Addis. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, money, always funny.